Everybody ready?
Yep.
Let's go!
Ahsoka!
Four Midwest Guys presents... Star Wars Rebels HQ.
Battles leave scores. Some you can't see.
Holocron. I'm afraid it's changing.
I will never let my friends get hurt again.
Your anger gives you strength.
Governor Price, these rebels have proven particularly stubborn. How do you intend to solve this problem?
I need someone who sees a bigger picture.
To defeat an enemy, you must know them, not simply their battle tactics, but their history, philosophy, art.
I must become more powerful.
Split the treasure.
Oh, that's a classic.
One last glorious day in the Grand Army of the Republic.
Jedi and Sith, the light and the dark.
They'll be the architects of their own destruction.
The key destroying the Sith.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Rebels HQ. Tonight we'll be reviewing Season 3, Episodes 12 and 13, The Ghost of Geonosis Part 1 and Part 2. With me tonight is Mr. Brian Eckenbauer.
What's up?
What's going on, B? How you doing?
I'm doing good today.
Good, good. My brother Aaron could not be with us tonight, but hopefully he'll be back with us next week. I know he's with us as a Force Ghost, so... With that in mind, let's get right into this special mid-season premiere. This was a two-parter that they aired together, so we're doing the podcast the same way. So the whole episode, we start off, they're on board the Ghost, and it's so secret that they decide to do a briefing over... they decide to do a briefing, but instead of doing it on the base, they decide to do it on the way to the destination. Or while in hyperspace, which is over, you know, transmission wires and lines, and you would think the Empire might get wind of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of odd. It was like, oh, I wanted to do this in person, and blah, 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 and like, it's like...
Okay, yeah, maybe it's encoded, but why not just, do it at the base and not, I don't know. I guess I had an issue with that. The other part about the whole briefing scene, they mentioned again that they've decided to send this team to go find out what happened to the team they originally sent in to find out what happened at Geonosis, but they decided to do that after much debate. So I don't know, Brian, did you pick up on that? Do you think this is a sign that, like, kind of like in Rogue One, because this is a Rogue One tie-in, we've seen Rogue One, spoiler alert for anybody out there, by the way, but that... In Rogue One, they're fighting on whether they want to go fight the Death Star or not. This sounds a lot like more like it's not really an alliance per se yet.
Well, what this sounds like to me is the beginning stages of the turmoil that is, the beginning stages of it. Like, it's like a...
Should we or shouldn't we?
Yeah, like half of them think we should. Let's debate about it. What's the best tactic to do it? You know, let's do this and that. And then in Rogue One, they finally said, let's just do action. Let's get it done. And then that kind of sets the sequence up for stuff of, yes, let's do the action. Let's do it. And then we watched all three movies of, that way.
Right.
This one, it seems like it's the beginning of...
They're trying.
They're like, well, I don't really want to do it. Do you think we should? Well, we probably should go try to find out what happened to them, because they were looking for... Well, I guess it was pretty,
Right. It's a lot of back and forth, a lot of politics. We don't quite have the... We have a rebel resistance, maybe, but we don't have a rebel alliance.
Actually, you know what I think it is? And when I think about it, it's more like not the beginning of the
alliance.
Not the beginning of the... the confrontation, like the debate part.
Mm-hmm.
What it is the breakdown of the Senate who have joined this. still trying to do the Senate way of doing things.
Trying to do business through the Senate. Try to do it the proper way.
Right, of debating about it.
And trying to...
Still using the old ways.
That's a good point. The other part about the briefing I found interesting was Rex apparently knew about the mission and nobody else did.
Now, see, that bothered me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how he would know about it. It's not like he's getting extra communications.
Well, the only thing I can feel is that he knows... That he knew Saw Gerrera and Saw Gerrera asked him to join. And that's the only way, and maybe... And they were wanting to keep the mission. It was supposed to be top secret. I don't know. But to me, I didn't really like that either, to be honest.
Yeah, it was kind of weird that he knew and nobody else did. It's like...
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if, like, Hera knew and nobody else did, or if...
Right.
The Jedis knew and nobody else did.
Right.
But for Rex to know and nobody else, like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, it shows
you. You got the Order 66 happening again.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It kind of disturbed me because Rex is kind of part of the, you know, he's part of the crew. He's supposed to be a trusted member, but yet he's privy to information that nobody else is. Suddenly, mm-hmm. It's a little unnerving to me, I got to admit. I don't know. So, all right, so let's move on to Geonosis. So we're back on Geonosis once again. That debris field that we saw in Rebels last time, from what we know, is obviously the Death Star. They don't, but we do. It's been cleaned up. Yep, it's gone. It's completely...
It's been put together.
Yeah, it's been... The debris... Yeah. They're basically... They've cleaned everything up and / covering everything up here. Mm-hmm. They're trying to cover their bases, so to speak. They return when they get back. I kind of liked when they hit the planet. We hit the sandstorm again. It kind of reminded me of the Clone Wars battle when they had that.
Right.
The sand was kicking up. You had the Jedi and the big battle going mm-hmm. on. So it was very reminiscent. I did like that. That was kind of a neat point. I like how Rex mentioned that the Clone Wars connection to Saul and how he trained him. So he's reminding you yet again. We talked about it a lot in the last podcast with Visions and Voices, but that there's a lot of Clone Wars history in Rebels. Mm-hmm. So there's your connection that Saul Gerrera, not only is Saul Gerrera in Rogue One in the future, what we're seeing right now in Rebels actually takes place 2 years before Rogue One does, as far as the timeline is concerned. So therefore, everything that we're seeing Saul right now is not the Saul you see in Rogue One. But he also is from the Clone Wars.
What is the Saul you see in Rogue One?
It is the Saul you see.
It's the younger version.
It's a younger version of him. He's 2 years down the line. But Saul has deeper connections even going backwards into the Clone Wars. So we first meet him in the Clone Wars episode. He's the brother of a resistance fighter against the Separatists. And it was him and his sister Steela.
Right. Yeah.
That Anakin Skywalker...
Steela!
Anakin Skywalker, Ahsoka Tano trained along with Rex. Mm-hmm. And they were training them to be this resistance group on... I think it was Onderon. Not Alderaan, but Onderon, I think. Anyway, so here's a character that we're seeing again. So we've seen him in the past. We see him in the future. And now we're seeing him in Rebels in between. It's basically the best way to describe it. And so our viewers understand what's going on. I also kind of like how they point out quite a few times, and I don't know if you picked up on this, Brian, where they said they kept sealing off the passages and how stale the air was.
Right.
And how that was kind of...
Like, yet another one blocked off.
Yeah.
Almost like it was done on purpose.
On purpose. Gee, I wonder why. Could it possibly be for the big giant can of Raid that the right. Empire used? We'll get to that later. Okay, so the other part, one of the things I want to know is, why is Saul the only one that survived the supposed attack on his group? Why is he the only one that survived? And also, why is he showing no remorse or guilt for anybody in his so-called group or squadron that are now gone?
And not only are they gone, there's no bodies.
Yeah.
Where did they go?
Where's the evidence that they were killed by battle droids?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Were they cannibalized?
I don't...
And eaten by Saul? Is that why he's called Saul? He already had that name, but...
I don't know, but, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like this guy very much.
Neither.
The more I learn about him, the less I like him.
Like, I didn't like him in Rogue One, and I really started not to like him now. He wasn't that bad in Clone Wars when I saw him.
Yeah, but even in Clone Wars, he turned him in, or he went running off, and I can't remember exactly what he did, but he was kind of an ass then.
Mm-hmm.
he didn't really quite want to be like his sister and at that time, and now he's still being an ass, except I don't know. I don't like him. He's obsessed with finding out what the Empire's up to. Obviously, we know it's about the Death Star, and he doesn't care about the bug. He doesn't care about the Geonosians, aka the bugs. He's constantly trying to keep the rebels from leaving, like while they're underground. He's like, "Oh no, stay here. It'll be quicker. You can save your friends if."
Yeah, because what he wants to further his agenda.
Precisely, he's manipulative. He's constantly trying to get his way, and he'll do whatever it takes to go to any extreme to get what he wants. It seems like that comes across very clearly to me. I don't know, Brian. What are your impressions? I mean,
he does seem like just a big ass.
Yeah.
You know, everything is about him and what his agenda is. You know, if your agenda works with mine, good. If not, I'm taking you out because my agenda is the only agenda that matters. And you know, there's no I in team, but there is me. And, you know what I mean? It's like
that's a good point. That's a good way of describing him. I like that. I thought it was kind of interesting, though. We also saw the bugs were using the old battle droid army. He was using that to defend himself. He was a technician. He helped build the Death Star, so he had enough. They had built the battle droids themselves back in the day.
Right.
So he was maintaining the old battle droids, the destroyers, as well as a shield generator. So that's, you know, it was kind of an interesting throwback to Clone Wars, I thought, and kind of tied in, kind of nice.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about this last podcast. Let's talk about it again. Kanan's powers with the Force again. They seem to be getting stronger and stronger every episode, it seems. Or at least he's using more abilities. This time he lifted the bridge and moved it with people walking across it. And then he force jumps himself, including also throwing Ezra across first.
Yeah, so he throws Ezra across.
Yeah.
Okay, because we've seen them do that before. That each other.
Yeah.
Then he moves a giant land bridge, and with people walking on it, maneuvers it and hovers it and says, "Get across."
Yep.
And they get across.
Yep.
And then he simply just jumps.
Force jumps, yeah.
All the way across with no issue. And then it's like, okay, let's go. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Kanan was the blind Jedi who, before being blind... No way he could have done any of this.
Not that force jump. Definitely not the bridge. No. I don't know if it's whether, again, because he's blind and he has to stay with the Force, he has to use the Force, if he's more in tune with the light side of the Force because of it. I don't know. But he's definitely getting a lot stronger.
Yeah.
And we keep seeing that over and over again. The abilities that he's showing now, he's almost getting... to like the Obi-Wan Kenobi level of...
Oh, well, it's funny because they do make the joke.
Right.
And he's like, you're getting more powerful. And he's like, well, he's no Skywalker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What is it? Saul says, I forgot they could do that, the jump. And he's like, Well, he's no Skywalker. He's like, I heard that, you know. Kind of a nice banter, but still, he's getting more powerful. However, that line does bring up a question for me, you know, where they go, he's no Skywalker. He says he heard that. That made me wonder... Do you think Kanan knows who Darth Vader really is? Because I would think if they said Skywalker, he'd almost be offended. I guess he kind of was offended, but I think he'd take it personal almost.
Well, Ahsoka knew who.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder if she shared that information.
But she didn't know until the battle where they kind of split ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had an inkling about it, but she didn't tell anybody.
Well, she saw him in the Jedi Temple, but she never said anything.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, she never said anything, and then she found out in the battle that's who it was, and then they kind of went their separate ways. So I don't think he actually knows that's who Vader is. I think that's who he knows as the person who trained Ahsoka. And
right, that he's this famous general, the most powerful, one of the most powerful Jedi ever.
Yep.
So he has no idea about the Vader side. Yeah, I agree. It's kind of an interesting point. And I wonder if that's a plot line down the road that they'll explore even, maybe. I don't know. Because I think that might be devastating to him. Because if he's this huge Jedi in his mind, like this, and that's all he knows, is that he was this awesome, powerful Jedi, good guy.
Well, I think we're going to get that at the end when we get Kenobi.
Yeah, and reveals.
And Kenobi will reveal that Anakin is Vader.
Yeah.
And it's just gonna it's gonna shatter his world and be like,
what the heck?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very possible. The other cool thing, I thought the Rebels finally get a shield generator. You know, finally, at least part of one, although it's fried out and
right. Well, they get the shield generator, which means that they'll be able to replicate it.
Right.
Which means they'll be able to put, is it three or four of them on Hoth?
Well, it'll be nice to have anyway.
They'll be able to put three or four of them on Hoth so they can have that nice little battle there.
Or it'll be nice when the Empire finally finds them down the road. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to everybody's favorite Geonosian, Click Clack, a.k.a. Kit Kat. Well, I don't know, whatever the hell you want to call this guy.
Clickety Clack.
Clickety Clack.
And he kept saying Castle Grayskull.
You're right. That was funny. I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, every it was funny because whoever voiced him said Castle Grayskull, but they made it sound like Castle Grayskull.
Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, it was so weird. It was like, why does he keep saying Castle Grayskull? Must be a He-Man fan.
So, yeah, maybe somebody is a big He-Man fan out there. But to the point of Click Clack. Obviously, he looks very weak, looks very meager, and Saul looks like very much like the bully. He puts him in chains, puts him in iron handcuffs. You know, in contrast to that, we have Ezra, the return of the alien / animal whisperer.
Right.
Do you have a problem with this? Because he keeps going back and forth. You have these moments of absolute rage, kind of like dark side fight, and then yet he has this kind, gentle animal whisperer comes back.
Again. Well, it's one of those like animal rights activists.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
like screw you, blah, 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 blah. Oh, look at the puppy. You know? What?
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that. That's funny. So obviously, though, Click Clack does draw them the Death Star, a circle within a circle. But I thought it was kind of funny, though. They're like, oh, that must be the ring. Oh, that's the Rings of Geonosis, or that's the Rebel. Oh, that it's obviously the Empire symbol he's drawing. That,
yeah,
they keep getting it wrong. You're like, fucking idiots.
I know, it's like, no.
It's a Death Star. But they don't know what a Death Star is yet. So we get a reference to Steela. You know, we get to see his sister, a little hologram of her.
Yep.
So that's another throwback to the Clone Wars and the Clone Wars episode. And it does kind of add a little bit of depth to Saul Guerrero, a little, maybe ever so much that maybe he has a little bit of decency in him. You know, at least you try to understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, why he has the vision that he has.
Right, and the way he is.
He's like, the loss that he took.
Right, he's like, I lost my sister to the Separatist. I lost my planet to the Empire. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, et cetera. So Saul does find, he finds the egg, and suddenly, Captain Rex is a egg expert and says, "Oh, that's a queen egg."
Yeah, that's a queen egg. You know, like, oh, okay, that's a queen egg, and then it's like the whole thing, and like all of a sudden, the whole thing shifts from we can find out information from him to oh, we have to leave him here to expand his
save his race,
and it's like, what? This is crazy.
So Saul finds the egg, and mission takes priority over extinction.
Extinction.
Sorry. He's just, again, though, it's another thing. He wants him to tell him what the Empire is doing, and it doesn't matter to him what the cost. And eventually they talk him out of it. They talk him back. But still, it's just another
example. Even while they're talking to him, you know, another tie back, and Rex tries to be the voice of reason. And he grabs him from behind. He's like,
right.
You're not in charge, General. Blah, 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 blah. You know, like, referring back to when he was on the Separatist, whatever, when he was...
Yeah, when he was leading his group. Yeah.
His group in Clone Wars. You're like, you're not in charge here. And then he just completely overpowers him. And he's like...
Pfft. Right. And Rex is... He may be old, but he's a pretty skilled soldier.
Yeah.
You know. All right, so let's talk about the whole, they start running from the Empire. So the Empire, they set off in a proximity alarm or something like that and sends a Empire cruiser, I guess, to check out what's going on the planet because they want to keep it secret. They decide to go down the hole. They decide to meet in the, I guess, the big hole opening, which is where the land bridges are.
Magically, there's no land bridges at all.
Well, there are, but you never see the ship breaking through them for some reason.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like there was, like...
two or three.
Like, there was at least three or four of them above them, and a couple below them, and then the one that they broke off to use is the one, and that one fell.
Right.
But this ship just goes right in, and it looks, on screen, it is the entire size of this hole, and it just slowly goes down.
Totally descending.
But there's no... it doesn't hit anything. Doesn't hit any of the land bridges.
Yeah, I had a big problem with this whole... and we'll go into it here as we go through it step by step almost, but I just don't understand why they... I could understand going to the bridge and stopping where they're at, but why not just go right back up and take off?
And leave.
But they decide to keep descending.
Right, because Click-Clack said to.
Or he got his way, because that's the thing to do.
Because that's what happens when you're the last one of your race, is you get to do whatever you want to do. What does Click-Clack want to do, I think, was one of the things that Harris said. And it's like, well, Click-Clack wants to get the fuck away from you. That's what he wants to do.
All right. But one of the cool parts we did get, we finally get actual flying stormtroopers. Not Mandalorians, just flying stormtroopers.
Yeah, what they call them, rocket troopers?
Rocket troopers or something, yeah, something cool like that. But the other part we got to see, which I thought was cool, is we got to see Sabine.
Holy crap. And that's when I made the comment. I was like, man, she's becoming a badass.
Big time.
And even Ezra said...
I want one of those.
Well, before that, he goes, as soon as she came out, and Saul was like, oh, the rocket, blah, 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 and the door opened, and Sabine flew out, and he goes, those guys are in trouble now.
Because he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool scene. Obviously, she got the jetpack fixed that she got
from
a few episodes back. Again, showing a lot of Jedi ability with the flipping, especially using the jetpack and the flying and maneuvering herself through, and how she took out the stormtroopers. It just, again, more Jedi-like abilities, which, again, we brought up in the last podcast, and I'll throw out spoiler alert, but is she Kenobi's daughter?
I mean, that's a very good possibility that she could be Kenobi's daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know how far it goes past that. We talked about it in the last one.
Yeah.
I don't know how far that lineage is going to go past Sabine, but Sabine could be a Kenobi,
or it. She just, even for a Mando, and I know Mandos are very highly skilled warriors. I get that, but she seems to have another level.
Mm-hmm.
The way the flips, the way she maneuvers, or just the way she seems to be ahead of the game.
Now it would have been really if she would have done all those flips and stuff, and when she landed, she pulled out the darksaber.
That would have been awesome.
And you're like, oh my god!
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's. I think one of the things we always wanted. We played with our figurines. Is the one thing that what was the one thing that Boba Fett was missing?
Oh yeah,
he didn't have the lightsaber.
He was a lightsaber,
right? So I don't know. It kind of plays on that too a little bit, I think. But yeah, I think there's a very strong possibility that, especially since we're leaning towards, we're getting closer to Kenobi. We know now. We've seen Kenobi. We've seen the mid-season trailer. We know at some point this season we're going to get Kenobi. It just would make sense. The fact, like we said in the last podcast with Satine tie-in, they're showing that again. There's a reason for all that. They wouldn't have put that there just for the sake of putting it there, in my opinion. It's going to tie in somehow, some way. So,
true.
So, all right. So they finally make it to the bottom of the giant chasm hole, and they find giant Empire bug bombs.
Yeah, giant Empire balls.
Of gas.
Yeah.
Where they're now empty. So they...
and they assume that that's the picture that he was drawing.
Yeah, again, they're not the Death Star, but, oh, that's obviously what he was drawing.
Yeah, he was drawing those balls.
That's what he meant. Nah. I don't know. What did you think of the fact that the Empire killed a bunch of bugs with a bunch of Empire big raid bug bomb?
I kind of figured that was kind of be what it was, because I wouldn't see them, going in there with all the troops. But it was just kind of one of those, like, Like, even when you said, you're like, oh, a raid bomb. Like, oh, yeah, that is a raid bomb. Like, well, that's kind of stupid. Like, you got this really intelligent race that can build a lot of shit.
Yep.
And it's a raid bomb that's going to get them. Oh, great.
Okay, yeah.
And then you got to think that the air doesn't move down there.
Right. So why isn't there gas left
over? Why isn't there gas left, and why does he go even farther down to take the egg?
I don't know.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess we're left to assume that the gas never made it down that far to those lower, secret, even lower levels. I don't know. Maybe there's more bugs down there, too. I don't know.
I guess, remember, they were thinking that the gas rose?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. It went up the big pipe.
Yeah, it was just weird.
I don't know. I was just like, really? Okay, we killed a bunch of bugs with... I was expecting something a little bit more cooler,
well,
I guess.
Well, even Starship Troopers had a better way of getting rid of the bugs.
That's true. I would at least have liked to see, yeah, like a bunch of Stormtroopers just blasting the hell out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although they can't hit shit, so... so, obviously, they have their proof for the Imperial Senate, again, like we were talking earlier. You know, they want to do things through the Imperial Senate, right? Right. Although, you know, when I think about that, though, you got to think, Palpatine is a master of manipulation. He put himself in the power. He created the Empire. Even if they presented evidence, even if they had it and they put it in the middle of the Senate, I think he'd find a way to squash it and say that it's not true, or...
Yeah, you could have made those.
Right, this is obviously propaganda. It's not, yeah.
Or this was a separatist, blah, blah, blah. Was...
Right, exactly. You know? I don't know. Alright. So, then they blast their way up. So, after going all the way to the bottom of the chasm, they finally point the ghost up in an upward position, in a ballistic position, and blast their way out
mm-hmm.
through the ship. And they lose the bug. Well, they lose the bug bombs on the back, on the bottom of the ship. But I don't know why they don't do that in the first place. I don't know why you descend and then decide to block. I know the ship came over top, and that's why she did it. But I don't know. To me, I don't know. I just had a problem with the dissension.
Well, yeah, because they were descending.
I couldn't get past that.
Before Click-Clack even wanted to go to the bottom,
yeah.
They were already just kept, like, they were falling, like a free fall.
Yeah, just kind of.
And we're like, because we're watching, we're like, why are they free falling? Like, why are they keep going down? They know the ship is coming. Why are they going down further?
Right.
And then my other issue with that is when they blow through the other ship,
mm-hmm.
right, because they blast it with proton torpedoes, which is like, what are we watching, Star Trek here, whatever.
Yeah.
So they blast through the ship, and they go straight through the ship, and you watch it go through the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that ship not crash? Why is it still in one piece for the general to give, you know, that, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, how is that even possible?
Well, I know that it all happened very quickly, but you would think some of the debris would start to descend on the ghost just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I know they're like the Millennium Falcon. They're trying to, you know, come out of the exploding Death Star or whatever, but still.
I mean, because they showed the rocks falling, and then they showed them blowing up the rocks, like
yeah.
shooting the rocks as they were going up. But, like, yeah, when you hit bust, when you're shooting into the metal. Ship, and the metal should have been falling too,
yeah.
and they go through the ship,
yeah.
and the ship doesn't start crashing or anything, because if something goes through my ship, I'm thinking that I'm crashing, mm-hmm. which means alarms are going off and everything else.
Yeah.
But she just looks up, like, she just, like, I don't know, it was really weird.
And they're not even that far off the ground. I mean, they're hovering maybe 100, couple hundred feet. I don't know. It's I know it's not science fiction. It's fantasy, but still, I don't know. It,
right.
It made for a cool exit, but eh. I guess my mind couldn't release from reality for a second on that one. Suspension of disbelief did not work. All right. So, at the end, they try to make Saul not to be such a big asshole at the end, saying, you know, obviously he's still better than the Empire, and
right, right. Even though he's not fighting for the same cause as we are, he's right. not the Empire,
and
we'll have to be happy with that.
And all of our allies are not going to have the same that we have. You're going to find, you know, from a certain point of view, blah blah blah.
That's right,
basically
exactly.
what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, all right, so yeah, all right, so I think we've dissected this episode pretty well. So let's just get into final thoughts and grades. All right, Brian, what's your final thought and grade for this special episodes 12 and 13, The Ghost of Geonosis, Part 1 and 2?
For it be coming back from the mid-season break,
yeah.
It was very much of a letdown for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for Saul Guerrero at all.
Yeah.
I think putting us back on Geonosis was kind of cool that we saw what happened. But we still didn't find out what happened. Like we know what happened as, you know, right. being actual people.
Yeah.
But they didn't, the characters of this didn't find anything out at all from being there. So it didn't produce, it didn't further the story along at all other than giving us Saul Guerrero to tie it into Rogue One. If that's the only case, this was a horrible way to come back in for the season. Like, you needed to give us something to start our story arc again,
mm-hmm.
you know, to start our arch in order.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get that from this episode. I think, for me, this episode was a C+, B-.
That's fair.
Yeah, because, I mean, there wasn't a whole bunch there that it gave us.
I think, I think I was let down because I think the whole mystery, in my mind, the mystery of what happened to the Geonosians was kind of a big deal. I mean, when they first brought that up, it's like, oh, holy shit, the Empire just exterminated an entire race of people. That's pretty cool. I want to know what happened. You know, maybe I built it up bigger in my mind than it should have been, but still, it was kind of a cool thing.
Right, with when we saw the fight between the Jedi and everything and how that whole battle took place to take out a bunch, and you're like, there must have been a huge battle that took place.
Yeah, I would love to have seen that. Right. You're talking about the end of season 2, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had this whole thing built up in my head, and I was like, I would love to have gotten a little bit more depth than just, we dropped a bunch of canisters and we closed up some holes and we bug-bombed the place to death. You know, that's how it felt. It was kind of a real big letdown from that. And I was also kind of expecting, because we're coming off Rogue One, and because Saul Guerrero is there, that at least they left maybe just a breadcrumb, other than a couple circles that they misinterpreted in the sand, as to, you know, something that might lead Saul off to his next mission to try to find another piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. you know, as to what the Death Star. I mean, they'll probably do that down the line, but I would like to have seen Saul do that, because I think that was what Saul was doing, you know, the whole time. At least that's what I told myself after watching Rogue One, you know. And then he kind of gives up, spoiler alert, but at the end and passes that on to his mission on to Jyn.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of high hopes going into the episode, especially being a two-parter. I thought we were going to get some really in-depth stuff, and we didn't really. It was just kind of, really, they could have, this is the one time I'll say they could have done this episode in probably one episode, and it would have been just fine.
Right. I was thinking, you know, as we're doing this podcast or watching the show, it seems to me that the mid-season finale needed to be two parts.
Yes.
And this one needed to be one part.
One part, yeah. I'm not saying it was a bad episode, but I will be honest, I will probably just have to say that, you know, sorry, I got a little pop-up there. Said it was going to do a virus scan and shut down my computer, which I canceled in time, hopefully. I was just expecting more. And again, they could have done it in one episode, and I would have been fine, I think, with it. I would have been still let down, but it would have been fine. So overall, my grade is going to be B- as well. Maybe C+, borderline C+. I'll give it a B-. It did give us a little bit more on Saul, although it... So far, I'm not really digging Saul Guerrero all that much.
Me neither.
So far. So,
me neither.
So, all right. So, where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? You can go to Google, type in the number 4 Midwest Guys. That'll bring up our Facebook account, our YouTube account, Twitter account, as well as our Podbean, which is where we host all of our podcast off of the YouTube channel. We also have available, we also put our podcasts up there, so plenty of ways to follow us, plenty of ways to reach out to us. You can also get us on email, number4midwestguys@gmail.com. Reach out to us. Brian, I know you have your Twitter account as well.
Mm-hmm. @AnkZone.
Okay, and you can find me as well at BWilly1977 as well. I love to talk Star Wars. I'd love to talk about the programming. If you got any issues, reach out to us. Let us know how we're doing. All right, well, Mr. Eric Bauer, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, and for B. Willie saying, may the Force be with you always.